your own space, your own fitness studio, personal training studio, gym, health club, your personal space to help people to be healthy, fit and strong. You're not going to go and work for somebody else, and you're not going to rent a space in somebody else's gym, and you're not going to run around on the beach and get sandy, and you're not going to run around in the park and get wet or hot. You're going to have your own space. And as I said that, you probably pictured in your mind exactly what your space looks like. And of course, that's different for everybody. So if you haven't started putting a vision board together, start cutting things out. Start Google imaging exactly what you want. And in your headspace, the size, literally the size of your facility will already be there. So it'll be somewhere between a tiny room in your house with minimal or no equipment, right through to a multi-million dollar facility, literally, where there's a huge group exercise area and thousands of pieces of equipment and hundreds of showers, and it's just this amazing facility. And of course, they exist all over the world now, and everything in between. So once you've got exactly what you're the most excited about, of course it's possible. And please don't listen to the people that tell you that it's not. And there's going to be people that tell you that you can't have a successful personal training studio in a one-room house. And there's going to be people that tell you you can't go and set up a multi-million dollar fitness facility. It's just not possible. Well, of course it is, because it's been done before. So you can do whatever you want. So work backwards from your big picture. Then, of course, it's the target markets picture. So who do you want to bring into this facility, and what do they want? And have you asked them? So you might have a picture of exactly the colors and the amount of equipment you want to have and how much money you're going to invest and all the things that you're going to put in there, but you didn't ask the people who actually have to pay to come. And they're the people that really matter, because they're the ones that are going to be making this possible for you. So the more people that you attract from your target market into this space who are excited about training in that space, then the more likelihood it is for this whole facility to come together. So let's start at the one end of the scale, which is, do you actually need to have a space? And I'll ask it again, could you use a park? Could you go to the beach? Could you use your own garage? Could you use your own backyard? Could you use a spare room? Now, if it's going to be in your house and you're going to set up a space, we're going to talk about some of the things to really consider. But before you do that, do you actually need to have a space? And then, do you need to buy it or rent it? Is there any way around? Could you, a community hall, for example, it might be that you keep the lawns mowed, or you paint the building once a year and they give you that space to use on a regular basis. So just use a lateral headspace as, do I actually have to buy it or rent it, or is there some other way that I could invest in this particular space, set it up as my own and not have to spend too much money on it? Another example, a five-star hotels. They've usually got beautiful facilities, and there may be a way of using that facility, for example, where the guests at the hotel can use that facility whenever they want to. You may have to give a certain number of them personal training sessions, but for that you don't have to pay any rent. So keep that in mind when you're putting your expenses together, because ultimately it comes down to that question: how much money do you want to earn, and how many hours do you want to invest? Because everything after that is an expense. So that's where often our ego gets in the way. I want to have the biggest gym. I want to have the most equipment. I want to have the biggest swimming pool. I want to have 17 different group exercise rooms for all the different kinds of classes. And ultimately, it comes back down to, how much do I want to earn, and how many hours do I want to invest into my business? What kind of lifestyle do I want to have? Because the bigger you go, and the more people you have, and the more members you have, and the more staff that you have, obviously there's an increase in hassle. And one of the great lessons I learned in business a very long time ago, increase hassle, decrease profit, makes for a very unfortunate life. If you can decrease hassle but increase profit, it makes for a very fun life. So keep some of those things in mind. So number one, if you're going to walk into this space every day, so if you decided, yes, I'm going to have a space, whether you rent it or buy it, that's completely up to you and your accountant. And how big that space is going to be is obviously completely up to your headspace. And now you've got to start working out on expenses. But when you walk in there every day, are you going to love being there? Now, that also isn't just about the space. That's about the suburb. It's about the street. It's about the position in the building. It's about how much sunlight's coming into that space and whether or not you want to have sunlight. Do you want to have a view? Is outside noise a challenge? Are the next door neighbours going to be a challenge? And obviously then there's all of the things that come with council approval. So it's not just, yes, I can see myself in this space, but what about in this building, in this street, in this suburb, even in this country? So have a big, wide look at, yes, if this is a space that you're looking at, do I actually want to be here in this space, in this street, in this suburb every single day for a little while? Because obviously when you're setting up your business, you're going to be really excited. You're going to invest a lot of time there. Then, of course, will your target market want to go there? Would they like to be parking in that street? Would they like to put their nice car in that car park? Would they like to walk up those stairs or walk down those stairs? Be really aware that your target market will have things that they've loved and hated about the places that they've been to before. Now, I'm sure you're setting up your facility based on the things that you've hated from other gyms and other personal training studios and other spaces that you've exercised in. And you've also taken some of the really great ideas that you've seen, got really excited about them and said, yes, I'm going to put them in my business. Make sure then that you ask your target market those same questions. What have you loved about the places that you've exercised before, and what are some of the things that you've hated? So I'll give you some really interesting examples. Really overweight people or people that are really unfit find it very difficult to walk upstairs. Now, we should all walk upstairs, and we might say that they should walk up the stairs and they shouldn't be so lazy not to come to our facility because they have to walk upstairs to get there. But be aware that you want to take away any barriers that will stop people from coming into your business. And obviously, if somebody looks at a flight of stairs and goes, I can't get up there, I know what I'm going to feel like when I get to the top of the stairs, that could obviously be a barrier. Parking is a huge barrier. If somebody has to drive round and round the block two or three times before they can get into your facility, and I've only just had this experience trying to go to a cafe, and I had to go to this cafe, but I drove around twice. Couldn't find a park. Then I rang my appointment and said, look, I can't find a park. And they told me where I could find a park in a car parking station. And when I got to the car parking station, it was full. So that will be a huge barrier for people coming to your facility if they can't park their car. Now, you might not need car parking. You might be in a private street. You might just be bringing in people one-on-one, and you've rented one car park that people can park in. But just be aware that that will be a really big barrier. The other thing that people find to be a barrier is obviously large, intimidating spaces if they don't like going to the gym. And the flip side of that is other people love being seen in those huge, big facilities with lots of mirrors and hundreds and thousands of pieces of equipment and really loud music and lots of other people dressed in little clothes. So again, that's depending on your target market. If you want to attract overweight people who get intimidated easily, then they'll probably share with you that they don't like mirrors, they don't like large crowds, they don't like large loud music, and they don't like to feel like people are watching them. So please keep that in mind. It's all about target marketing. So take away any barrier that would stop people from coming to your facility. Now, how much profit do you need to make to work the number of hours that you want to work will then determine how many members you need to have and how many clients you need, how many staff you need, which will then determine the space. So be, again, really aware not to get caught up in the pricing war of the fitness profession. There are so many gyms now that are just charging, and it's like nothing, like $7 a week to go to the gym. And you might say, well, to compete with that, I'm going to have to charge $7 a week too. But when you do your numbers, you work out that you'd have to have 40,000 members to charge $7 a week. And again, obviously dependent on your facility. Please be really aware that what you charge at your facility can't be determined by what other people are charging, because you have different expenses, you have a different electricity bill, you have different number of people on your team. And you have a different profit margin and a different amount of money that you want to earn. And that all gets caught up in the expenses, which is why I always go back to, do you really need to rent a space and do you really need lots of equipment? And be really aware of your ego. Because if you compare the size of your ego with the size of the amount of profit you want to make, you may choose a completely different facility. You might decide that a home studio is exactly what you're looking for, where you don't have to pay any rent at all. You train one person at a time. You earn $100,000, $150,000 a year doing that. And there's absolutely no hassle whatsoever. Remember, the idea in business is to decrease hassle and to increase profit. So you've got your space. Let's say now you've either leased or rented a space, or you've decided on exactly what that space is going to be. The suggestion is now that you go to that particular space, and this is before you sign the lease or before you buy the property, please go to that space at every single time of the day that you're going to be there or your clients or members are going to be there. So 5 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, midday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, when school comes out, when it's peak time, when people are coming home from work, 7 o'clock at night and really late at night. And particularly if you're going to have a 24-hour facility, please have a look at who's around that facility at those particular times. How much traffic is there? How many people are walking around on the streets? What kind of people are walking around on the streets? Will your target market be offended by those people, intimidated by those people, scared of those people? And then of course, check the lighting and check the parking. You might go there on a Sparkle Day Sunday and there's plenty of parking, but you go there at 10 o'clock on Magical Day morning and somebody's got to drive around the block 3 times to get a park, or they don't get a park at all. So you might have a beautiful space in a beautiful suburb and you really love it, but nobody can get to you because it's too hard to find, because the lights don't work or the signage doesn't work. So when you're standing away from the space that you're thinking about buying or renting, make sure you look at where you're going to put the signs, where other people should be able to see those signs from, whether or not they can based on trees blocking the view, whether or not it's light or dark, whether or not if there's a tall bus going past, your sign will be covered. Be aware of all of those things. Again, take away any barrier that's going to stop people from coming into your business. And then again, be really aware of slick real estate agents and slick building owners. Obviously, in business, you're looking for a win-win-win. There's got to be a win for the owner. There's got to be a win for the real estate agent. There's got to be a win for you. And that could be a four-way win, because obviously there's got to be a win for your clients and members as well. So when you go into a negotiation with any of those people, that's probably a great question to ask. What would be a win-win-win situation for all of us? How can we all walk away from this conversation before we sign this contract all feeling like we have come out as a winner? And if it's a win, I win, you lose, it's not going to be a great situation, because someone will be cranky. You can say, well, I got that rent really cheap and I really pushed the vendor of the building down and I really got a great deal. But that guy ends up hating you, and every time you try and get something fixed or something's broken or there's a challenge, that guy's going to be a real pain in your backside because you really screwed him down on the original price or the original contract. So always think about win, win, win. How can I make it a win for everybody? And yes, there will be some very slick real estate agents that try and con you, trick you, and that's why it's really important that if you've got a lease to sign, don't sign it before you have somebody look over that thing who really knows, a third party that's not emotionally involved in any way, shape or form. So not somebody from your family, not somebody who's excited about you having a gym, but somebody that can just look at that from a real third party, third place point of view and say, what about this? What about this? What about this? And I'll give you a quick example. We had one of our Max students who got a beautiful personal training space in Brisbane in Australia, but her lease said that she couldn't have signage in a certain space, but she was so in love with that particular building that she went in there. Well, nobody knew that she was there because nobody could see her sign, and she had to get out of the lease. And that's a very difficult process. So please be aware of all of those little things and make sure you've got somebody helping you do that. And obviously, as a Max student, that's what we're here to do. Savvy is the ultimate person to have a look at your lease for you. He will go through it with a fine tooth comb and check out that everything in that lease is exactly as it should be, unless you've got somebody in your life who can do that for you. We would love to help, because we want you to have an exciting space that you're really excited to go to every day to help people to be healthy, fit and strong. So Now, where do you put the equipment? Where do you put the group exercise classes? Where should or shouldn't there be mirrors? If you're setting up from scratch, where do the toilets go? Where do you put the front desk and the welcome area? Where should the childcare go? These are all big questions if you're coming into an empty space that has no... If you're buying a gym, it doesn't matter, obviously. But if you have to... Literally, where are the toilets going to go? Where should I put the front desk? And you've got a big open space. There's some things, again, to be really aware of. Some people love to exercise in a window and everybody can see them like they're at the zoo. And there's plenty of gyms like that. I'm sure you've walked past them where you've seen everything that everybody's doing. And that's a target market question. If you really are wanting to attract that crowd that love going to the gym and they love being seen and they love wearing little clothes and they love feeling like an animal in a zoo, then ground floor, big windows and everybody can see in. Be aware that a lot of people hate that and they would never go to that facility. So make sure you ask your target market. Again, that could be the difference between upstairs and downstairs. If you've got a personal training studio versus a health club, if you've got a health club, you're going to have somebody at reception or some kind of swipe-in system or some kind of turnstile system. And obviously the 24-hour gyms have all got swipe yourself in. If you've got a personal training studio and it's just you and your client, you really don't want people walking in on your session. There's nobody to talk to them, which means you would have to then stop training your client to go and talk to the person that's walked in the door. Which means if you have road frontage, people can walk in off the street, they can see that it's a personal training studio and they just walk in and you're training a client, unless you've locked the door, which of course isn't very nice for people coming in, then it's going to be a challenge. So just be really aware that that's where stairs might be awesome. You might look at a facility that's got stairs and a lift where people who don't want to climb up the stairs can catch the lift. But if you're going to look at a personal training studio, and also from a leasing point of view or a buying point of view, obviously if it's, you have to walk upstairs or it is upstairs, it's usually less rent because it hasn't got road frontage and it hasn't got street frontage. So they're all really interesting things to consider. And I'm only going over these very briefly. This is really a big part of your personal mentoring session with Savvy. I would do this with Savvy. He's set up a beautiful health club from scratch and he bought somebody else's health club and created it or developed into a great space. So a really good person to talk to about all of these challenges with the facility. I've been involved several times in the setup of new facilities, like picking a new space and getting started from scratch, and made some ridiculous mistakes, and of course had some great wins. So we'd love to be able to help you with this. One of the things I'd really like to share with you is that when people are working out, if they're serious about their workout, they won't want people walking past them on their way to the toilets. So that's a really interesting thing about where do I put the bathroom and the toilet area. If people are walking in off the street through the gym area or through the group exercise area to get to the toilets, it's going to be really annoying for the people that are working out and probably intimidating and not very comfortable for the people that are coming in off the street. So you really, probably, it's a great idea to have your welcome area, I hate calling it reception or your front desk, yes, of course, at the front of the business, but then you might want to really consider that the toilets and the changing areas are really close to that area and you don't have to walk through any other part of the gym to get to them, so that the people coming and going from the facility aren't going to be annoying any of the classes or any of the people that are working out. So that's just one of those interesting things. Obviously, also, toilets can be smelly and they can get dirty, and if they're at the front part of your business where people can walk in off the street, they could be a poor representative of your business if you're not good at keeping them clean. I've seen that happen too many times because I'm obviously a person who really appreciates a clean gym and clean toilets. And you've gone to the front desk of the gym, gone to the bathroom, seen how filthy the toilets are and thought, well, I'm not really sure that they maintain their cardio equipment here very well. So be aware that people will be looking at those kinds of things. So, as an overall, what do you want? What does your target market want? How much money do you need to have to give them what they want? And do you really need to have all that stuff? And if you're going to have all that stuff, now it becomes part of your business plan. It becomes part of your expenses. they're going to cost money. So the more space you have, the more equipment you have, the more toilets you have, the more staff you have, the more lights you have to put on, the more things that you offer for people, obviously the more it's going to cost. However, if you want to walk into a multi-million dollar facility and be really excited about what you see, then of course you can do that because so many people have. And you might do it completely different from everybody else, and I really hope that you do, because we do have a lot of big gyms. We have a lot of gyms. We have a lot of personal training studios. And if you do it completely different to everybody else, then you'll find yourself a niche market. You'll find yourself a different target market. And that's where the cost is. You don't have to compete on price, because if you don't look like the gym that charges $7 a week, if you don't look like the gym that does $20 personal training sessions, if you don't look like the gym that's cheap, if you look like something that's completely different, and that's where you get to use your imagination and have a look at Olympia Body Transformation Sanctuary in Brisbane. They've got a pool table, a grand piano as a front desk, and huge big mirrors and leather chairs. There's some beautiful coloured studios where it's all orange or all green or all black, depending on what your, obviously what your colour scheme is and what your target market likes. It might be a spit on the floor gym's gym where it's just metal and steel and clanging and iron, and people can go in there and just really have a hardcore workout. They're all different spaces. And I'm just going to finish off with that. Your target market can also come down to personality styles. There was a beautiful facility in Orange in New South Wales in Australia, and the owner of that gym really understood personality profiling. So he had a facility that he broke up into several sections. So yes, there was the normal gym with the mirrors and the music and the glass and the classes and all the people with the little clothes on, very noisy. He also had a personal training studio for people who really like to compete against each other. So there was mirrors in there and there was heavy weights and loud music, but it was a personal training studio. So you went in there and there'd be two or three trainers and two or three clients at any one time. There was also a private personal training studio where it was only one trainer and one client. There was blue, greeny coloured walls, hardwood floors, dolphin music playing, plants, candles, and it was a real quiet area where you could train with somebody one-on-one. So when somebody came to the facility, if the membership consultant felt that the person was a hardcore gym person by asking the right questions, they'd obviously take them to the quiet studio first, then to the personal training studio, and then to the big gym because they just wanted a cheap membership and wanted to get training really quickly. If a quiet, shy, intimidated lady walked into the gym and she wanted to do weight loss, but she was really scared of coming to the gym, they would take her to the big scary gym first, then to the scary personal training studio, and then into the quiet, greeny, blue, whale music and candles smelling beautiful studio, and where would you like to train? So you can set up in one facility lots of different styles of spaces to suit all of your target market. The point is it's your space and you can do whatever you want, but be aware that there are some things that can get in the way of people not coming to your facility. There are some things that people will really be really excited about and they're going to tell other people about, and it's the little things that count, the way you make people feel really special. So once you've got your target market in your facility, then it comes down to your customer service and the way you treat them. And that's a whole nother max bite.